in Perek Vav. We're in chapter 6. And simply at the return of the Aron. And I expect to spend the bulk of our time on a very difficult Gemara related to the returning of the Aron, and it's on your source sheet, as you'll see. Remember, the Plishtim had the Aron for 7 months. They played hot potato with it, circulating it around the different communities. They decide to send it back. The priests are not convinced that this is really from God, or at least not 100% convinced, and therefore they want to do a test, and they set up the cows, nursing cows, and they hold the young behind, expecting that if this is really all natural and not divine orchestration, then the cows aren't going to go to the Jews. The cows are going to turn back to their young. There are also cows that have never drawn a wagon before. So we noted the way they did it. They loaded up a box full of gold statuettes, somewhat grotesque statuettes, and the box is something that we actually kept with the Aron afterwards. It was considered to be something holy in its own right, presumably because of its relationship to the Nes, to the miracle that happens here. So let's take a look at the Psukim. Starting from Perek Vav, chapter 6, Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk Yud Beis. This is what happens. Vayisharna haparos baderech. That opening word is already difficult. The word vayisharna. Can someone take a grammar stab at that word and tell me what vayisharna means? Rob, you're muted.
Something to do with yashar, go straight.
So, could be from yashar. Go further with the grammar here. If the word was, and they went straight, right? Vayisharna is a very strange word to use for that. Number one, to propose a verb, they straightened, so to speak, would be interesting. But number two, let's do the diktuk, let's do the grammar. The end of the word, that na ending, is for what? What kind of word, what kind of verb gets a na ending? If you think of, sorry, what?
Feminine plural,
exactly. Feminine plural. Right, if you think of Vatishtachavena, right, as another example, when Yosef has his dream, and the sheaves, which are feminine, aluma, are bowing, Vatishtachavena. So it's feminine plural. Is there anything about this word that tells you that it can't be a feminine plural?
Vayi is masculine.
So it depends on your root, right? In the event that the yud is a prefix, then that should be a taf, not a yud. Vatisharna. Unless the yud is part of the shoresh, is part of the root, which goes with what Ori said, that it's yashar. But it's a very funny word. So this is something that we need to address, this word vayisharna. But anyone here working with...
Does that mean you were made to go straight?
So... If I take Ori's read, not they were made to go straight, but they went straight. It's not something that was done to them. I don't even know how you would do it if it was something that was done to them. Vayusharna, I don't know what you would do with that. But Vayisharna is, and they went straight. Anyone here working with a translation into English and want to tell me what your pasuk says? And they took the straight way, so they went straight.
Yeah.
It took a non-straight way to express that, but yes. Which translation is that?
It's on Sansino.
Anyone have a different text or a different translation? Nope.
I don't know if this is any different, but the cow set out on the direct road.
Okay, that's the same concept. Who is the translation by?
It's Art Scroll.
Art Scroll. Okay. So they take this basic approach that the cows went straight. All right, we're going to come back to that word, because the Gemara is going to take it in an entirely different direction. They went straight, we're back in Pasuk Yud Beis, Al Derech Beit Shemesh, on the road of Beit Shemesh, B'Mesila Achas, in one path, Holchu Haloch V'Ga'o, they walked. Ga'o is a term for lowing, like when a cow lows, they're mooing or something. So they go along on this this path of Beit Shemesh on a path as they are mooing, presumably because they missed their young. Velo saru yaminu smol, and look at that, they did not stray right or left. So it's very interesting that we spend three different terms to say they went the straight route, right? Vayisharna, assuming that means that they went straight. B'mesila achas, on one path. Lo saru yaminu smol, they did not stray right or left. The point being, this is an ace. The priest did everything they could to cause the cows not to go straight. And they went straight anyway. V'sarnei Philistim holochim achareihem agvul Beit Shemesh. And the Plishtim are walking behind all the way until the boundary of Beit Shemesh. The priests are walking along. U'Beit Shemesh kotzvim kitzir chitim ba'emek. And the people of Beit Shemesh are out harvesting the wheat in the valley. V'yis'u es einehem, and they pick up their eyes. Vayiru es ha'aron, they saw the aron. Vayismechu liros, and they were really happy. Hey, what do you know? What aron? V'ha'agala ba'a el sidei Yehoshua Beit Hashimshi. The wagon gets to the field of Yehoshua of Beit Shemesh. If you ever wanted to know, like you know people from Beit Shemesh, what do you call them? The answer is not Beit Shimshians. The answer is Beit Hashimshi, is what you call somebody who's from Beit Shemesh. V'ta'amod sham. And he stood there, or the Aron stood there, I should say. The wagon stood there. Visham Evan Gidola, and there was a big stone. Vayivak Ues Atzei Ha'agala, so they broke the wagon. They took apart the wood. Ve'es Ha'paros Ha'elu Ola Lashem, and they brought the cows as a carbon to God. Then they do more things, but let's pause there for the moment. This word of Vayisharna is such a funny word. So Rashi already points out the problem, saying Teva Zu. Did I put it on the sheet? No, I didn't bring the Rashi. Rashi says Teva Zu Androgynous. He says this word is androgynous. Androgynous and androgynous are opposites. Androgynous is something that has neither gender. Androgynous means it has both genders. Because Rashi is assuming that the Yud is not the root of the word. So therefore the root, the grammatical prefix is the yud, the grammatical suffix is the na, the yud is, as we said before, is masculine, the na is feminine, so Rashi says this was a weird word. So what's the answer? So Rashi first gives me, well, our first answer that we're going to approach is Rashi's second answer. And Rashi says the answer is, as your translations said, as Sansino said, as Art Scroll said, it's that they went straight, and it was a big nace. The reason not to take that view is just because the Pasuk says they went on a single path, and they didn't veer right or left. So how many times do you have to say they went straight? I understand you're emphasizing the miracle, but really it's a little much. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah gives me the other explanation. If you take a look at your sheet at source number one, this is the Gemara of Avodah Zarah Chaf Dalid Amud Beis. Vayisharna haparos baderech al derech Beit Shemesh. The cows, I didn't translate it in my translation, yisharna, on the road to Beit Shemesh. May vayisharna. What does Yisharna mean? So Am Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Sha'amru Shira. They sang. And of course, when we use the term Amru Shira, they sang Shira, what we mean is they sang to God. Right? That's the term we use for praising God, especially when angels do it. Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav, Sheyashru Pneim Keneged Aron Va'amru Shira. Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia does something really funny, quoting Rav. He uses both versions of Vayisharna. He says, on the one hand, it's Yashar. They turned their heads straight to the Aron. And on the other hand, and they sang Shira. So he's using both reads of the of Vayisharna. He's actually taking it both ways. The word is both Shira and Yashar. Now, where do you get in the Pasuk any hint that Vayisharna should mean the cows sang? Right. So one approach to say is to say that they get it from the lowing, haloch v'ga'o, right? Even though pshat in the lowing is that it's because their young are being held. That's the simple read. But now we're saying that no, the mooing that they're doing is singing Shira. I know people like that. When they try to sing, it sounds like that. So that's one possibility. The Maharal, though, gives you a different take. If you take a look at source number 2, this is an important Maharal for other Gemaras as well. He says, "Veloshah hayu omrim shira bechituch lashon v'dibur." It doesn't mean that they sang shira like they actually formed words and spoke words. Rak halichasam b'derech hayashar, their act of walking on a straight path, kedechsiv vayisharna, like the word vayisharna, Hu ba'atzmo hashira. That was the song. The fact that they did something that publicizes Hashem's existence and power, that's what it's about. And then he goes on, but we're not ready for the rest of this Maharal yet, because you have to read more of the Gemara first. But his point is that when a cow is singing Shira to God, it's the idea is that it's doing what God designed it to do, and that is Shira. It's not doing what it's designed to do, but doing what proclaims God's existence. It reminds me of Tovim Ma'oro Shabara Elokeinu, right? Where we talk about the luminaries doing what Hashem tells them to do, and we view that as a song. Or another example, there's a Gemara earlier in Avodah Zarah with the story of Elazar ben Dordaya. Without making a whole thing out of his story, Elazar ben Dordaya is a terrible, terrible sinner who one day is shocked out of what he's been doing, and he says, "I want to do tshuva." And he is so distraught and so upset that the Gemara describes him turning to various natural elements and saying, "Pray for me." And they each respond, "We can't pray for you. We have enough to take care of." So the mountains say, "We can't do it." The rivers say, "We can't do it." And so on. And in the end of the story, he davens and he cries really hard and he dies, but his tshuva is accepted and he becomes known as Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya. So Tosfos there asks, the Gemara presents with like psukim and says that this one, the mountains said this and the rivers said that. How in the world did they talk? So Tosfos says it doesn't mean they talked. It is the message that is conveyed by their behavior. So too here, the cows are singing Shira, says the Maharal. So two explanations for where they got this idea. Explanation number one is that, as Ori said, it's from Haloch V'ga'o, the mooing is their Shira. And the Maharal says, no, they're not actually singing. Don't get hung up on that.
Yeah.
Yes. No, it's not off topic, but I don't have much to say. Perek Shira is a description of all of Hashem's creations singing Shira to Hashem. That's my understanding. I don't really know anything beyond that. Other than I also saw a nice, beautiful illustrated edition of it, beyond that.
Some of it sounds like
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, then it'll be consistent. That's great. Rashi, in his first answer, as opposed to the one we brought before, which is Rashi's second answer, Rashi, in his first answer, goes with this approach, that it's a, that it's Shira. And he says, not only were the cows singing, but the young who were held back in the Plishti cities also sang. And Rashi uses that to explain the male and the female, right? If the root is Shira, then why is it Vayisharna? So the answer is, the prefix refers to the males who sang, and the suffix, which is female, refers to the mothers who sang. Okay. Clear so far? Vayisharna is an odd word. Either the root is yashar, they went straight, or the root is shira, in which case you have to figure something out to explain the male prefix. But there's something more to be seen from this Gemara. Because going back to source number one, the Gemara then clearly is, either it doesn't take itself literally, and it can fit with the Maharal, or it takes itself literally, in which case it doesn't fit with the Maharal at all. The Gemara asks, Umay Shira Amru, what song did they sing anyway? Whether the older cows, whether the older cows and the young cows, what were they singing? So we get a bunch of answers. Am Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir, Az Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael. That's a good song, right? We like that one. So just like the Jews sang at Yamsuf, that's what the cows sang here as well. One approach. Rabbi Yochanan was quoting Rabbi Meir there. Rabbi Yochanan Didei Amar, Rabbi Yochanan himself quotes you a pasuk from Yeshaya. Va'amartem bayom hahu, you will say on that day, Hodu Lashem kiru bishmo, thank God, call in his name, Hodiu ba'amim ali lo sav is the rest of the pasuk, inform the nations of his deeds. Reish Lakish gives you another answer. Mizmor Yasma, an orphan psalm. And I'll explain that in a little bit. But it's the psalm of Mizmor Shiru Lashem Shir Chadash Kniflaos Asa Hoshia Lo Yimino Uzra Kocho, Psalm 98. A song, sing to Hashem, a new song. He has performed wondrous things. His right has saved for him and his holy arm. Rabbi Lazar says, Hashem Malach Yirgizu Amim. Also, Tehillim. Hashem is king, let the nations tremble. And it continues, as I added in the brackets, the Yosheva Kruvim, the one who dwells with the Kruvim, makes the earth shake. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni says, Hashem Malach Geus Lavesh, God is king, clothed in might. And then Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha has fun with it. He doesn't give you an existing pasuk. He makes up a shira. He said, Roni, Roni, Hashita, sing, sing, the acacia, right, kind of wood. Hisnofafi berov aderech, be elevated, hisnofafi, like to wave, tenufa, be elevated along the long road, hamechusheket v'rikmei zahav, the one wrapped in gold embroidery, hamehulala bedvir armon, the one who is exalted because of the dvir in the palace, which the mefarshim here take to mean Torah. Umfu Araba Adiadai, blended in the crown of crowns. Tell me something. What in the world is that about? So you have some of Kabbalah Shabbos. I think you have Hashem Malach Yegizu Amim, Hashem Malach Yeyus Lavesh. And Shir Hashem Shir Chadash. So you do have Kabbalah Shabbos in there. So maybe it was Friday night. It's just so weird, no? Like, what is this Gemara trying to do? So, if you go through the Mefarshim, you find each one of these songs can be associated either more robustly or less so with the story. So let's go back to Rabbi Meir. Az Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael. Can you tell me, either based on the words or of the pasuk, or based on the meaning of the pasuk, why this would be the shira? Good. So the Bach, commenting on the page in the Gemara, says what David said. Haloch v'ga'o and ga'o ga'a. Granted that haloch v'ga'o, ga'o is with an ayin, and ga'o ga'a is with an aleph, nonetheless, that's what he says. How about in terms of the meaning? The Marsha points something out. As you continue from Az Yashir Moshe Bnei Yisrael and Ashir Lashem Ki Ga'o Ga'a and so on, you get to the pasuk Chil Achaz Yoshvei Pelashes. Chil, trembling, seized the dwellers of Pelashet. So the simple read of that pasuk in the context of Az Yashir is simply that the Plishtim heard about Yamsuf and they were afraid. However, we're now saying it's the trembling of the Plishtim in our story. That's why the cows use it. The Maharal also throws in the idea that the cows are singing praise to Hashem because Hashem didn't abandon us after the Red Sea. He continued to take care of us. So we continue to sing Az Yashir. That's one of the answers. Now let's turn to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, V'amartem b'yamahu, hodu Hashem k'ru b'shmo. But if you were to continue down the pasuk, you would get Hodiyu Ba'amim Ali Lo Sav. Inform the nations of what God has done, which the Marsha says means what God did to the Plishtim in this story with the Tchorim and all of that. Inform the nations of Hashem's deeds. So the cows are singing, tell the nations what God has done. Reish Lakish was the one who said it's the orphan song. So what does that mean, it's the orphan song? Rashi says it's because it's a chapter of Tehillim that doesn't have a name attached. Not B'nai Korach, not David, you know, all of those are not there. Tosfos says it's because it doesn't have an explanation for what triggered the composition of that parak in Tehillim, meaning many of the parakim in Tehillim have events that they reference pretty clearly. This one does not. Okay. So why would the cows have sung this one in particular? So the Marsha says, Hoshea lo yemino, his right hand was victorious for him, meaning after the fall of the nation in battle, Hashem created the victory. And that parak continues to say, you should praise God, lifnei Hashem kiva, before God, in front of God, because he has arrived. And that's the arrival of the Aron. So that's the Marsha. Then you have Tehillim Tzadites. Hashem Malach Yirgizu Amim. So the Maharal says, Yirgizu Amim, God struck the nations, and that's what led them to return the Aron, because he agitated them. But also, in that same section, we call God the Yoshev HaKiruvim, the one who dwells among the cherubs. And the cherubs are found where? Where do we find Kruvim? On the Aron. Exactly. So there's an appropriate association. Then you get Telem Tzadi Gimel. Hashem Malach Geus Lavesh. God wears majesty. That's the supremacy he demonstrated over Dagon. And then the Marsha has another approach in which he says, that was the Maharal, sorry. The Marsha also says, because Tehillim 97 goes on to say, I'm sorry, I need to say it the other way. In our edition, it's Hashem Malach Geus Lavesh. However, there's another version of it, which is Hashem Malach Tagel Haaretz, Tehillim 97. And there it says, Yevoshu Kol Ovdei Pesel, all who worship idols shall be dismayed, Hishtachvu Lo Kol Elohim, and all gods should bow to Hashem, which Dagon did in this story. And then finally, you have Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcho, who says it's not Tehillim at all. He says it's simply this line about the acacia singing. The acacia, why would the acacia be appropriate for this song?
That's what the Aron is made of.
Yeah, the Aron is made of acacia wood. I should also note that Rav Ashi says, after this in the Gemara, that Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcho was talking about what the Jews sang in praise of Torah. That it was a song of ours. Okay. So, I've given some explanation, some justification for each of these lines. But what's the overall message here? Why does our Gemara care what they sang? Why does it, what are we supposed to take away from this Gemara besides, you know, when you're saying Kabbalah Shabbos, thinking to yourself, oh cool, I learned that this week. And by the way, cows can sing this too. Like, what are we supposed to take away from this?
That it was a real song, according to the Gemara.
No. So you could have said it was a real song. Why do I need, like, they're going so far with this.
It makes the miracle even greater that not only did it go straight, but as you were going, it was a procession taking it back with singing and everything else.
Okay. So we're expanding on the miracle by describing the song. Could be. I'm going to offer two other ideas. Number one, it could be emphasizing the divine role in creating our songs, our Tehillim, and therefore downplaying along the way the human role in the praises of Tehillim. In other words, the cows didn't invent these psukim. Hashem gave them these psukim. Hashem gives us the psukim to say. Hashem gives the cows the psukim to say. The Tehillim are not the creation of a human being. They're a creation of Hashem. I think it's a statement about Tehillim. That's one approach. I'm sorry, I apologize to Chazanim, because this doesn't really, you know, make you out so great. You know, the cow can do the job also. But, you know, I just read the news. That's one approach. The other approach, though, that I would bring, which I think is even more likely, is that the goal here is to highlight that even animals recognize Hashem in grand ways. And therefore, you have to ask, what's wrong with us? The same way that last week we talked about the loyalty of the Plishtim to Dagon, right? The idol, the statue, falls on the threshold, they pick it up. It's broken into pieces, and they still consider it sacred, and even the spot where it fell is sacred. They're very loyal to Dagon. And here you have the Jews, who leave the Aron for 7 months, and when the Aron comes back, they're just like acting routinely. We're doing the wheat harvest. Like nothing's wrong. You know? They're not sitting there with sackcloth and ashes. Oh no, we lost the Aron. They're not launching a rescue operation. Let's go fight the Plishtim and bring home the Aron of Hashem. They're, you know, someone's got to eat dinner, so I guess we should harvest the wheat. That's what they're doing. So I wonder if it isn't part of that Musar to say the cows are singing Tehillim to God. What's wrong with these Jews?
God, yeah. And then they sacrifice them.
Yeah. Do you remember the talking fish story from a bunch of years ago, the one from Muncie?
No.
There's a story out of Muncie where there was a fishmonger whose non-Jewish worker in the store claimed that the fish was talking, and he called the owner to come over, and as the story was reported, it made it to the New York Times. He said that the fish said to him, I need a tikkun. He said, the end is coming, I need a tikkun, and eat me for shalosh shudas. So they did. There's the whole story. I could send it to you at some point if you want. But the idea here, in this would be that the cow, it has elevated itself by singing Shira to Hashem, and far from using it for a carbon being a bad thing, that's actually a logical follow through. Like, that's what you do with a cow that's saying Shira to God. You sacrifice it. You know, I mean, what else do you... Look, after this, what's the cow going to do? It's basically to, you know, to mix my metaphors and my zoo animals, it's jump the shark. Like, what do you do with a cow that sang Shira to God? Put it in the Hall of Fame?
No answer to that one.
Yeah, I don't have an answer to that one. So they bring it as a carbon. I mean, I don't know. I think it's very interesting that the Gemara, you know, wants to take all this time to explore the, you know, the nuances of the song of the cows. That's really interesting to me.
Talking about Chazanim, I would ask it the David Musa.
Ooh.
Oh, that's so bad.
You know, David, this is being uploaded to YU Torah, and the whole world is going to listen to this. I'm not deleting that part. Oh, oh boy. People should know what I put up with. So, okay, fine. I'm impressed that you held out for half an hour. So, shkarach, David. So, so we have cows, which have gone the straight path back. They have sung Shira. However, we take Vayisharna, root Shinrei, or whatever, root being song, root being travel, whatever we do with that. That's one piece. Masculine, feminine, whatever. The Gemara has broken down what it was that they sang, and we learned lessons from that. And then you get to Pasuk Yud Gimel, sentence 13. And in sentence 13, again, it's just mind-boggling. The people are doing what people do, which is to say they're harvesting their wheat in the valley. And the reaction that they have, if you notice their reaction, this is really interesting. Vayis'u es einehem. They picked up their eyes, and they saw the Aron. So you could read that straight. They were busy working, and they were working in a valley. So in order to see what's going on the road, they have to pick up their eyes. However, there's another way to look at it. Professor Keel, in the Da'at Mikra, points out that Vayis'u einehem vayir'u, this phrase, is often used to describe seeing something you did not expect to see. If you take a look on the sheet at source number 3.
Is this not the term used with Avraham?
Vayisayna vayar. Yes. So your first example on the sheet, Bereishis 18:2, is Avraham is at the entrance to the tent. It's hot, hot, hot outside. And suddenly there are guests. Travelers, right? The three malachim. Avram did not think he was actually going to see people, but he was trying, and boom, there they are, visitors. The next one, Bereishis Chaf Dalet Samach Gimel. Anyone know where that is? It's a long perek. That's a hint.
Keda?
Sorry?
Keda?
Nope. A ged is not a long perek. It's a long perek because it has a story in it that's told twice. Good. Avram's servant shows up, right, and tells the entire story all over again about how he got there and how he found Rivka. And at the end of the story, they go back to Yitzchak, and Yitzchak sees Rivka, Vayisa Einav Vayar. He was not expecting to see that. And then the next reference, Bereishis Lamed Gimel Aleph, is when Yaakov sees Esau's 400 men. The next one, right after that, Lamed Gimel Hey, is when Esau sees Yaakov's large family. And then, when Yosef's brothers see the merchants, we also see it when Yosef sees Binyamin, when they brought him down to Mitzrayim. Yoshua sees a malach outside Yericho. The old man in Giv'a at the end of Shoftim sees visitors in the square where there are no visitors. And finally, when Achimaatz runs to tell David that Avshalom has been defeated, the Vayis'u Einehem Vayir'u is often, says Professor Kiel, a statement of shock. I never expected to see that. The Jews never expected to see their Aron again. They had Yeyush, they had given up hope. The Aron is gone. And then you get their emotional reaction. After the physical reaction, Vayismichu liros. They were happy to see. They were pleased. Right? They were pleased to see it. Well, what do you know? Aron. Isn't that nice? Very interesting. The word liros is also an interesting word. We're going to have to come back to that one, I expect, next week. But their reaction is not like what we would have wanted to see. Then they take the wood and they use it for a mizbeach, for a fire to bring a karban. They sacrifice the cows. Notice, by the way, you're bringing a sacrifice that's not in the Mishkan. How are you doing that? How are you bringing a sacrifice outside the Mishkan?
On the bama.
Sorry?
Did they use bama?
So the answer is that as the last parak in Zvachim teaches us, during Mishkan Shiloh, bamos were prohibited. However, Shiloh is now in ruins, and therefore bamos are once again permitted, and that's how they can do what they do here. The Shiloh is destroyed, and therefore the bama is legitimate. We're going to have another answer for how they could do it in a moment, but that's, I think, the simple answer. So they use the animals as karbanos. Howie Javasky is horrified. You took your singing cows, and instead of taking them on the road, or off the road, as the case may be, you shechted them. Nope. Okay. Well, take a look at the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chav Dalet, again, in source number 4. Chuck and Howie, I believe, were in the shir when we learned this, when we were doing Maseches Avodah Zarah, but this would have been about 8 or 9 years ago. So it's definitely not, you know, on the final. But the Gemara there asked, how is it that they could use these cows for a karban? Before you look at the Gemara, anybody know what the objection is? It's kind of a little grisly, this objection.
Wouldn't it be because there could be two issues. One is because he belonged to Goyim beforehand.
Yeah.
That's not permissible. And the other, well, no, it doesn't matter if he had a yoke, if he carried something.
No, just no mum, that's all.
Yeah, but if he belonged to Goyim, he'd be concerned of activities that may have happened to them.
Bingo! Howie remembers the Gemara. It is kind of a memorable Gemara. The concern is, the Gemara there says that animals that have been molested are ineligible as a karban, and it expresses concern, the Gemara does, that if you take an animal that has been owned by people who do not follow the Torah, perhaps the animal has been misused, and therefore you shouldn't be able to abuse it as a karban. And the Gemara then asks the question, but they did it with the cows from Beit Shemesh. How in the world could they use them as a karban? And we get multiple answers. Take a look at source number 4. Meisvei, the Gemara asks, you're telling me I can't use an animal that was owned by an idolater? Vesaparos ha'alu ola l'ashem, they took the cows. So the first answer of the Gemara is, Horaas sha'a haisa. Special dispensation for that time. And Rashi explains what the dispensation was. If you look in the same source, bless you, in source number 4, Rashi says, Horaas sha'a, mipnei neis shenasa al yadan, because of the miracle that happened with them, sheviu ha'aron me'atzman, bringing the aron alone, ve'en ishman higam, no one was leading them, ve'espineim kalu babayis, their kids were locked up in the stall, ve'lo go achrei b'neim, and they did not go to the children, ela halichuhu, they brought the aron, ve'amru shira, and they sang, as stated later in the Gemara, which is the Gemara we already saw in source number 1. So the first answer is Horaas Shah, special dispensation. We're going to come back to Horaas Shah shortly. That's our first answer. Yes, Chuck?
No, I'm amazed by the analysis. I didn't have a question.
Oh, okay. So that's the first answer. And then you get a second answer, a little technical. First the Gemara says, Hachinami Mistavra, this makes sense. Dilote Mahachi Ola Nekeva Mi'ika. The Gemara says it has to be a Harasha because it's a carbon Ola. They burnt it. They didn't eat of it. And an Ola is generally a male animal, not a female animal. So he says it has to be. This is Harasha. The second answer that's brought in the Gemara is brought by Rabbi Yochanan, who says the animal was under 3 years old. And at that age, the owner would not molest the animal because it could cause it long-term damage. So he wouldn't do it. So that's the second answer in the Gemara. And then there seems to be an additional answer from the Yerushalmi. Take a look at source number 5. The Yerushalmi asks the same question, the same discussion. It says that they brought them as a carbon and they were owned by idolaters first. To which the Gemara says, are you going to learn something from the Plishti officers? Which makes it sound like the Yerushalmi's answer is that when it says they brought them, it doesn't mean the people of Beit Shemesh brought them. It means that the Plishtim brought them. That's what it makes it sound like. It's a brand new answer. However, the Pnei Moshe says, don't read it that way. As I brought you in source number 5, the Pnei Moshe commentary says, the Hikrivu Osan Le'enei Sarnei HaPlishtim. It doesn't mean the Plishtim brought them. The Pasuk said, Anshe Beit Shemesh brought them, right? It was actually pretty clear in the text that it's not so clear in the text, the truth is. But he says it's not that the Plishtim brought it, but that we brought it in front of the Plishti officers, Luman Simchas Hanes Asukain, meaning it was a Haras Shah, like the first answer in source number 4, a special dispensation, and the reason was to be able to celebrate in front of the Plishti officers, to make them witnesses to the miracle. You follow? That's the idea. We are doing this in order that they should be witnesses to the miracle. One point of method that's important to recognize here, it's come up from time to time when we've been learning since Sefer Yehoshua, but it's infrequent, and therefore I want to make sure to point it out. When the Gemara's first answer in source number 4 is that it was Haras Sha'a. When I was growing up, we learned whatever story it was from Tanakh, and the Gemara said that something that was done was really against Halacha, but Haras Sha'a, there was a special ruling, and you just dropped it at that. Haras Sha'a, and you're done, move on. But that's not the way Haras Sha'a works. In order to claim Haras Sha'a, you have to have a Sha'a. There has to be something special about that event taking place at that moment that justifies going against Halacha. It isn't just that the Navi gets to say, yeah, today I don't feel like observing Halacha. There has to be something to gain which you couldn't gain unless you broke Halacha. And so that's what's going on here, is that's why the Rashi spelled it out in source number 4. That's why the Yerushalmi spells out what it spells out. The gain here was, the goal was, to celebrate a nace, as Rashi said in source number 4, and or to celebrate it in front of the Plishti leaders. That was unique. So bringing a carbon, if you don't bring a carbon, it's not going to have the same impact. Carbon is critical for this kind of a celebration. I guess they didn't have other animals that they could bring, Howie. They needed to specifically bring the musical cows. But that's the idea, is that it's a Haras Sha'a because we need to properly celebrate the Nes. That's the idea. So let's see the next couple of psukim, unless questions or comments on that. Okay, so we are up to Pasuk Tesvav, sentence 15. V'ha-Leviyim horidu es Aron Hashem. The Leviyim brought down the Aron from this wagon. Ve'ezhar gaz asher ito asher bo klei hazahav, as well as the box with all those golden statues that everyone for sure wanted. Ve'asimu el ha'evan agdola, and they put it on the big stone they had there. Ve'anshei Beit Shemesh, now here it says, the people of Beit Shemesh, he'alu olos ve'yizbechu zvachim bayom ahu l'ashem. They brought separate karbanos. Apparently bringing these animals specifically was a unique Kiddush Hashem, that these animals should specifically be brought as a karban. So it's not just happenstance, but it has to be those. Interesting. Ra'u, and the plishti officers are watching, they see this. Vayashuvu Ekron Bayomahu, and they went back to Ekron. Ve'elet chorei hazahav asher heshivu plishtim asham lashem. And here are the gold statues of Hemorrhoids, it seems, that the Plishtim gave as a gift to God. La'ashdod echad, one from Ashdod. La'aza echad, one from Aza. La'ashkelon echad, one from Ashkelon. La'gas echad, one from Gat. La'ekron echad, and one from Ekron. Each city sent one to God. And then finally, v'achberei hazahav, and the golden rodents, let's not forget those. Mispar kol arei plishtim lachameshes hasranim, according to the number of all the plishti cities under these five officers, meir mivtzar viad kofer haprazi, from the fortresses to the external villages, viad avel hagidola, and to avel hagidola, or the dot mikra says hi ha'even hagidola, the great stone, asher inichu alei asaron Hashem, where they put the Aron, ad ayom hazeh, they're there to this day, b'stei Yoshua Beit HaShimshi, the stone is there to this day, in the field of Yoshua of Beit Shemesh. The stone is still there. Okay, before we see what comes next, because what comes next is a problem, we have at least one person using an art scroll, one person using a Sansino. In your editions, in Pasuk, is there anything unique about the way that Pasuk Yud Zayin is presented?
In the Sefaria.
Yeah.
There is a Samach in brackets breaking up the Pasuk. So it says, "Eile Torah Zahav Asher Eshibu Plishtim Hashem Lashem." Then you have a samach in brackets. Then Lashdod Echad, a samach in brackets. Laazah Echad, a samach in brackets. Lashkelon Echad, samach. Ligad Echad, samach. Le'ekron Echad, samach.
Precisely. Right. So hopefully, what you have in your editions, if it doesn't just have a letter samach, is a space. That's the way that it's done. You have a space in between each of those. What does that remind you of? Aseres Hadibros would be one. Where else? Sorry? Shirat Hayam, right? Az Yashir. And Shirim in general in Tanakh. And I do think Aseres Hadibros fit this as well, though it's a little harder to understand, which is why with the Aseres Hadibros, we say something a little different. I'm not so sure, but as a general principle, this kind of setup where you have gaps is a standard style to present Shira. This is a song to God. As grotesque as the statues may be, it's a song that you're singing. This one gave one, this one gave one. I don't know the tune. The cows aren't here. But it's meant to be a Shira to God about how he has humbled the Plishti cities. That's the idea. And that's why it's in Shira format. And then we say the cities of the Plishtim and the five Sranim. So take a look on your sheet at source number 6. Because Abarbanel notices that the list is not quite the same as what they were told to do. Go back, actually, before you see the Abarbanel, if you go back to the original idea of sending these gold statues, How many gold rodents are you supposed to send? It was in Pasuk Dalet, sentence 4.
5.
Right. How many did they send?
25.
25? Why do you say 25? We don't know.
For every single city, every single village.
Right. Every city, every village, they're all sending statues. We didn't know what to do with all these gold rodents. So Abayr ben El says, take a look now at number 6. The im hayosha kosmim vakoanim lotzivu lahavikim hay achbarei zahav bead kol arei hay sarnei aplishtim. The sorcerers and their priests said, just bring 5 gold mice representing the 5 Philistine leaders. Hina yera ekiyama aretz lo avu bazed. It looks like they didn't listen. V'amru shekmosha haya ofel zahav bead kol echad me'asranim. They said, just like you had 1 gold ofel, and the ofel were the tchorim, for each of the leaders. Kach yishlech lachbar zahav bead kol ir v'ir ukfar. So too, we're going to send a gold rat for every town. Ki ho yireim me'od me'amaka. They were very afraid of the plague. So they did this in order to be saved from it. And that's why they sent this. It's, again, the message for us is the Plishtim are a lot more sensitive than we are. The Plishtim are very dedicated to, number one, getting rid of the Aron at this point. But they're much more sensitive to miracles and to God. And they're going to outdo what their priests tell them to do. Whereas we're sitting there harvesting our wheat and not worrying about the Aron in the least. So that's where things are right now. What's coming next is the Aron in Beit Shemesh. And there what we're going to find, if you look ahead at Pasuk Yutet, is Vayach be'anshei Beit Shemesh ki ra'u ba'aron Hashem. The people of Beit Shemesh are now struck, for they saw the Aron, and they are hit to the tune of what sounds like 70 men and 50,000 men. We're going to have to talk about what that number means, because that's a very odd number. So we'll have to figure that out. But the fact the Aron is back does not mean that all is well. That's really what I'm trying to show you. So, yes, David? So that's an interesting question. I mean, we are told in Sefer Devarim that Hashem does not like Matzeva. He likes Mizbeach specifically. This is true. On the other hand, what they did here, right, if you go back to them, where was it? In Pasuk Tetzvav, well, it's unclear. I was going to say maybe they used the wood of the wagon for the Mizbeach, but the truth of the matter is they could be using the wood for fuel. The Dot Mikra has a comment here about this. Saying that they used wood that was on the wagon, not the wagon itself. That's interesting. Sorry, you were going to say?
It says it twice.
Yeah. So it doesn't have to mean that they used the stone as a mizbeach. It could be that they had multiple or that they used the wood. Unclear to me. Okay. Well, then thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And see you, God willing, next week, if not sooner. All right. Be well.
Night.
Night.